And this is BBS Radio. Sorry we are starting late today, but it's 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It's 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it's 8 p.m. in the Middle East. So guys, today it's a very important day. It's a day of a game changer. Something is happening in the air. And first of all, and the most important thing, we're going to have to pray together to make sure that Doug, our friends, our beloved host of this incredible, incredible director of the show, is well, because we need you, Doug. So please, you know, pray with me because I want him well and safe, and God make him well. Now, today is important, and he's coming sick to work, and I appreciate that, and I know that it's not easy. But we need to get our scope of work together and think where we're going. And I know that there are a few things in the world just now. Today in Israel, we lost incredible minister of the elderly, a man that has gave so much to the old people when he served as a minister just recently. Israel lost a great man today. His name was Uri Orbach. He was a light, like his name, Uri. And we're so sorry. And Israel is saddened by his loss. And I hope that we have another angel in the sky praying for Israel, for the people of Israel, because we need it. But God, we really love this guy. He was wonderful. Now, before we start talking how we can solve all the things going on, we know that we can do one thing. We can reassess the situation by understanding that it's not up to us. It's not completely up to us. We can make a difference if we play the role and we take a deep breath and we concentrate and we remember there is a God and it's not us. And I know that we have a few friends listening, and I know that there is David that is listening, and I hope that he'll come soon to talk to us, because there is a lot of things going on in the Middle East, and tonight we're awakening to the news. You're awakening in the West Coast to the news that Egypt is bombarding the south, the border there between Libya and Egypt, as a reflection of what's going on. And after they, the ISIS killed some of the precious soul Egyptian in a very, very bad way. Now, Libya is an incredible situation, and there is not many people who can understand, relate, and tell us something about the inside of Libya. And we have a wonderful guest, a friend, a wonderful man, courageous man, that has a special story to tell the world, and I'm so happy to welcome him. David Jerby is here with me. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Orly, for the invitation.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so glad that you are available, because the news about Libya just happened. And tell us what you know, what's going on there.
If you can invite us to talk at the Sky News in our television, as the situation now is quite dramatic, because all the Italians have been there. The last embassy that was open, it was the Italian embassy, but they needed to leave the country because it started to be very dangerous. The Egypt got Derna, that is in the coast, and then got Sirte, and now they're getting to Tripoli. They are sent people with the boats, that there are people as refugee, but also infiltrate. So the situation is getting danger. And the caliph, the people of ISIS, they say that they want to bomb Lampedusa, that is the closest place to Europe. that is from Lampedusa, a small island where all the refugees go there. From there, they get opened the door to Europe. And then, of course, this can be very dangerous. So now the politicians here and the army here are just studying what to do next. France asked a meeting, urgent meeting with the United Nations about how to act now, because the situation is getting dangerous. And they even say that they want to attack Gentiloni, who is the foreign minister of Italy. So yesterday I arrived from Malta, from Tripoli to Malta to Sicily, all the Italians that remain there. So now we are in a time that they need to make a decision about how to proceed through diplomacy, politician, or just to act, because those people are terrorists and you cannot have a dialogue with them. They just want to make Libya completely with ISIS, the caliphate, and I have been there, like Orly has been there, when we in 67 we need to leave because it was a persecution, because we were Jew, we are Jewish. So now the persecution is with the Christian, as they did with the 21 Christian Copt that they killed in near the Mediterranean Sea, in the Mediterranean Sea. So the situation is getting really dangerous, and the Italian government is working now about taking a solution because it's the closest place to Libya. So we are now in every moment the people are waiting to know what to do, to wait or to act.
I know, but there is the Egyptian army already in play. And if we don't decide together as a global force, as alliances, it won't be, the decision that the Italian government wants to do by itself, of course. And United Nations, it's not a player in this. You know, the coalition is made not from United Nations. The coalition is made from the alliances of the power against terror. And you got Egypt, you got, of course, the United States of America, you got Jordan that is playing already. I think that Italy is in that side of the board right now. She should join forces with everybody else. Let me ask you, David. Is Italy is concerned that they're really gonna hit the island there, Lampedusa?
Yeah, the problem is there that we are very close. They can bomb very easy to Lampedusa. It happened already in the time of Gaddafi. So it's very easy to send to bomb. This is the intention, because now they get so exalted and so fanatic that they want to conquer now Italy. So they have a lot of munition. They have a lot of instruments. But of course, they don't have an army, but they have support from other countries that they support the terrorism. So I spoke today with the Libyan ambassador in the Vatican. So he's a Libyan. His name is Mustafa Rejbani. I was with him fighting during the 2011 revolution, and he became he was a minister, and he now become an ambassador. So I asked also with him what's the best thing to do. So he said that the best thing to do is that the United Nations and Europe and that they support the army in Libya, they support the recognized government that it has been elected. So because this recognized government elected is in Tobruk, is isolated there because it's afraid about this strong ISIS, but it's really getting bigger and bigger. So it's like a cancer. You need to stop it as soon as possible. Maybe there where you are now, you don't feel like the danger as close, because there are many kilometers from here, but we feel it here very close because they arrive every day with a boat. Now the last news we got just now, they get a boat, they put the people from Africa over there, and then they put it, they give to the other boat, the Italian, and then they wanted the boat back in order to put other people. And they did this with the gun. So, and all this is just the people that do this, those are the terrorists that they want to send, infiltrate people. So the situation from one side, Italy want to welcome those poor people that they are just refugee and they can be killed or murdered in the sea. But the other side, how can you distinguish who is who? So there is also a problem because those people that will arrive, will infiltrate, will arrive in Europe and then you don't know where they get. So the situation is dangerous. If the Italian embassy closed, that it was the last embassy that they closed, the American embassy closed already a while ago. So, and this also what happened in 2012, September 11, when they killed Ambassador Christopher Stevens. So we already see the puzzle getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think it's time also to, as you said before, you need to have unity to fight against the terrorism that and this kind of Islamic extremism and fundamentalism that doesn't get an inclusion. What you have, Thomas Jefferson has been writing in the Constitution, the freedom of religion. So this is what they're attacking, is attacking the freedom of religion. And you already know very well this because we have been thrown out from Libya and many of our Jewish people have been killed because we are Jewish. So now they move on to Christians, move to Black, they move to Tuarga, to Amazigh, all the minorities. So, and this is a terrorism. The only way you can do it is to fight the terrorism. You cannot negotiate with the terrorism. So now they are studying what is the proper step to do in order not to be late. As I remember, maybe a long time ago, I heard Ronald Reagan say that to be naive is a luxury that we cannot allow to ourselves.
Very nice. Very, very well said. Very well said. Absolutely. It's the luxury you cannot have at this moment. And one question came to mind, and I hope I'm not asking, you know, something that is well, I hope that you are familiar with that. But, you know, to shoot to Lampedusa, you need to have armed forces. Do you think they have a hold of, they got a hold of arms, major league arms in the south there? Do you think that they have anything that can endanger other country in this size? Because they've been running around with trucks so far, and, you know, all those terrorist movie that they've produced, they are amateur one, of course. Everybody can make a video, but the truth of the matter, for them to pretend to take over a country, they need to be armed, and somebody has to give them the arm. Who gives them the arm at this point? You know, how can they help? Is Libya still holding? You know, they have access to what Libya used to have, what Gaddafi left behind?
This is what they say, is that what they have is because Gaddafi left a lot of munition and armaments that they had. But also they get from other countries, but I don't know how much is correct because I don't want to say something that I don't know and I don't have any information that's for sure. But I know that they arrive from other country, that they want to make it a colony because they want to get the oil and the gas from Libya. So they send munition in order to control also the economy there. So I heard that they also are supported by Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the other country. But I'm not sure. This is what the people are telling, but I don't know from where they got. But they get support. And the problem is how can you act in a system where they want to just not to have government, but to have the same way with the same mentality of Gaddafi. You have to remember that they had a brainwash for 42 years, and Gaddafi, if we see the story, he was just 26 or 27 years old when he took power and thrown out King Idris. King Idris at the time in 1967-69, he was in the hospital in Egypt. So he came, he took power, and he made the coup, and he became the leader. And then he has been killing all the people who opposed him. So these 42 years, the people grown up with this mentality that you can get everything you want through army, through munition, and through violence, and through terror. So this is what they learn. It's like a father teaching the children. So this is also the result. But to pass now from a tyranny of the dictatorship to a democracy, and now we are in a big chaos because there is also the problem with the different tribes that they want to control. You need to remember that Libya is made by many tribes, and they're also minorities. Right. So tribes are like a family, like a Gaddafi is a tribe that is called a Gaddafi tribe. So all the tribes support the leader of the tribe. So there is a lot about this. But now it's all in dispersion and chaos. And during this situation, this is the best ground to allow all the terrorists to come in and to flourish. So Libya starts to become the good place for all branch for terrorism, and it's danger because it's close to Europe, and this is why Europe need to be united, United Nations, and need to be make a strong decision to stop, because once they are infiltrating Europe, it's happened what has happened in Paris, what has happened 2 days ago in Copenhagen, what has happened now in the cemetery that they devastated cemetery of French. So the anti-Semitism is growing, the racism, the intolerance, because they only want to have one religion, their own way of seeing the religion. There is total intolerance, and this is what brings terror, and the people get scared. Today, when I went to the television, to Sky News, the taxi told me, oh, it's very strange, the people are not around. Normally on Monday is chaotic in where I live, but today it was all free to travel. So the people also start to go closing in the house, so this is it's impossible to accept that even in your country you don't feel safe. So I think they are working now to put the energy and the power together in order to have there is a past minister of the defense, La Russa. Today he made in the television when I was there as a guest as well. He said that in his opinion, it's good to send the Italian military on the coast of Libya and to create there a base for the people who need a hospital, who need assistance and everything. And from this, to bring also the peacekeepers there in order for them not to leave with the Mediterranean. But this is easy to say but difficult to do. So I think it's a moment of transition on taking much more serious the danger that is coming toward Europe. This process of coming to attack and to assault and to insult and to what they say to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, to Gentiloni, that they are coming to us in Rome. So it is dangerous.
Let me ask you one more question, David. I want to know, do you have any knowledge about any airport that they holding ground to? There is any excess of air power to them? Because on the grounds, you know, they are limited. If they have access to airports, to aircraft, that's where they become to be dangerous because they're moving fast. And do you know about such a? I know that it's very important question to know for everybody, because when we assess the situation, we need to know what we are facing, and if the troops, the Italian troops, are brave enough, and I must say brave enough, to come to the border and try to create some kind of refugee for all the one that runs away, they're actually risking their own life. I think that they need to make alliances together to go, not alone, not Italian alone, not anybody alone.
No,
this
together.
Is the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, together. Answering to your question about the airport, the airport of Tripoli has been closed. The one of Benghazi has been closed, and also the one of Misrata. I think the only one that they have open is the Mitiga airport, a very, very small airport that used to be for military. So maybe this is the only one. I heard from a friend of mine that this is the way that they go from Tripoli to Malta, and then from there they arrive in Europe. But the way that they arrived, the Italian that they left last night, those Italians, they left with a boat that has been rented by Malta government, and they arrived, and they after arrived in Argenta, in Sicily, and from Sicily they have been taken to the flight to then everybody in his own destination. So I think now, as you said before, they need to be together, but also not to wait, because there are other countries of Europe, they have other priority, like with Ukraine. So everybody needs to see what is the highest priority. As you remember, in Arabic we say, who going to feel more the fire is the one who has it under himself. So now Italy is very near, and it's going to be another challenge. And Italy has been, Libya has been also an Italian colony. So they need to include the diversity over there. And also another step, when I was there and I met with Jalil, I understood during the revolution that they really didn't make a step to commit totally to democracy, but it was like to please the extreme side and to the other side. But you need to make a decision. If you want democracy and human rights and universal human rights, you need to respect all the religion. So this is another thing that they need to do for the constitution. And the new elected government cannot compromise the important value, but they don't know what we are talking about, because also you need to know that the people that they are, the most evolved people, they are the one that has been persecuted by Gaddafi, and they have been living abroad in USA, in UK, in Italy, and those are Libyan Muslims. But for them to be elected there is not easy, because they are considered as betrayed that they left Libya. So the situation is complicated also from this side. And they also, for the woman, there is not much power given to the woman and given to the young people. You need to know that there are many, many women that are supposed to be elected as a possibility. But then at the end, at the beginning, it was okay, but at the end, they stopped all this influence. So I think in the next few hours, we will see the evolution of the situation.
All right, all right. Now, listen, guys, as you heard from David at this point, the situation in Libya is very, very sensitive. It's very important for us to create our emergency coalition, and it's keeping, it's keep on growing, because now the alliances between European countries are uniting against the terror, the global terror. Come on, this is not so easy task. It's not funny. It's really not something we wish to face. But for some reason, God sent them this way. And maybe to unite us all, or maybe to understand what it's important. Maybe they will turn their heart around and stop being who they are and decide that, the world is worth it. And, let the world keep on going. It's really, really a sad situation right now. And I know that... in the prophecy, there was talks about, that time in the history. And we got David back, and I'm so sorry we got disconnected. But David, one question that I want to ask you. When you're talking about the ground in Libya, do you think that there is any leadership, a local leadership that we can count on to have some kind of empowerment from within? Because, you don't want to walk into Libya and take over. You just want to cooperate with alliances. Do we have people on the ground who can help us do the job?
I think that you have the elected government that is in Tobruk that is recognized. but also it's weak. And this is where we're supposed to give the power. But he's very weak. He's elected and recognized the government. So this is what I spoke today also with the ambassador, the Vatican City. So I was with him. He met also with the Pope. And so he can understand what it means to coexist with different religion. And he asked, how can we bring tolerance with different religion in Libya where there is a terrorist? How do we do this? So just to listen to this question, and also he actually brought also his son here because he feels that his family is in danger. But there, the problem, Orly, this is the problem. This is how it's worked. I've been living with them. This always there is the threat of retaliation. So the people live with the fear of retaliation. If they don't take position by stay with them, what they choose one family from the family, they choose one member, and they ask this member to convince the rest of the family. At the time of Gaddafi, Gaddafi would kill people, would corrupt people with their, with the just kidnap people, and they would disappear. So this was the system. But here the system is that because they are fanatic, and they, I would say there's like a functional psychotic, if I speak as a psychoanalyst. They know how to function. And also all this, what they're doing this now, this exhibition is about Hollywood way to make terrorism. So they are very well trained. Like they need to burn alive these Jordan pilots. They know how to do to make much impression to the people to get their attention. Or they coordinate the scenography and the movement that you can see, so they get all the attention around the world. So they know how to get the attention and how to make terror in a very, very spectacular way. So they get professional also in this way. But this is a show that there is an organization behind this. But the legitimate, recognized, and elected government, this, I think, who should be supported, but they are very weak and they are disorganized and they don't know what it means democracy. They don't know what it means to agree to disagree. They don't know how to accept the diversity. So they need to learn. They are making steps and we try to help, but it's not an easy thing to do because now the danger is coming from there to Italy, from Italy to Europe, and this is, can become like a virus, so we need to stop it as soon as possible.
So you think that the rest of them came through Italy, you know, because they are the one in Denmark and France, they are, you know, there are a lot of cells all over Europe that are awakening right now, and they are a movement. You know, I heard that the other day there are thousands that they arrived to Iraq to assist them, you know, not just, you know, if you're talking about psychological way that they are taking over the terror platform, they succeeding in convincing the youth that this is the way to go. I wonder what they're doing, what they're telling them. And you speak Arabic. What do you think they're telling them that convinced them?
They just use the ignorance. They use their visibility and they use the money and power position. Just they give you power. You suddenly become an important person from being nothing at the time of Gaddafi, and from being not allowed to pray your religion because Gaddafi was not so open to the religion. So they now finally can get the position of having religion and being free. So they go to the other extreme. So, but what they get is they get position, they get housing, they get money, they get food, they get all what they need now. And when you act in poverty, in tragedy, and when the people are hungry of violence, and there are also many of them that they move from a place of being before for Gaddafi, now they just move. They can be the same people, they just move to another hut, and they call themselves ISIS, but they are all mixed. They convince them because of fear. They convince them because of money. They convince of them also because this ideology. There are so many that I met them. I met those people, and I saw the eyes of the people where they really can kill you with no problem believing that this is something that God wants. So you are talking, as I told you before, with a functional psychotic. So, and they believe in this, and they feel that they are a hero when they do this. So you need just to fight back, because the moment you don't fight back, they feel more strong, and we feel less strong. So we need to find the unity, as you say before, with the Europe, and also with the NATO, and also with the United Nations, USA, to be together. Because what happened also with Ambassador Christopher Stevens was something that remained injustice. So how much patience we need to have toward those people that are growing.
What about the local population, the people, you know, because if let's say that we get these alliances, we go all out, and we have intention to destroy them. The question is, what we're going to do with the people on the ground, the innocent civilians that are playing? Are they in a safe place? Are they in a different way, or you know, or they keep them captured within, like the, you know, most terrorists do?
They need to be like the three monkey. They need to not to be visible. They need not to see. They need not to talk. They need to disappear, because the moment that they are there, they can be in danger. So they are living in fear and threat. And they asked me to become the representative of the Amazigh tribe in Libya. So they sent me the letter, and I become there to speak about on their behalf. So, and I also meet them, because they are afraid, because they are a minority. The Amazigh, they are different from the Arab of the Libyan. They are a minority. They have their own education, their own language, their own names. And the Gaddafi persecute them because he want to eliminate this culture that is in Morocco, in Tunisia, in Libya. This is an important tribe. But also those people that they live in the Jebel Nefouza, in the mountains, in Gerian, in Homs, in Lut, in Jadu. Those are all people that they are living in the mountains, and they are also not so safe, because those are minorities. So they ask help, so they don't know how to protect themselves. And also sometimes there is no water, there is no food, a lot of lack of things. So there is a lack of hospital. They can just easily go there, conquer a hospital, throw out the people, and there is no mercy. So you are not talking with people with their heart open. So the people, the innocent people, they are paying a price. All the young people there get traumatized. And you have to remember that tomorrow is February 17. And February 17 is the day of the revolution. So this is when the revolution in Libya starts. February 17 is an important national day. So if you see what happened from 2011 until today, this is not a real revolution here. It has been something unexpected happened from this anarchy and chaos. And the anarchy and chaos is a very, very fertile and prosperous ground for the terrorism, because they can get there, the place, and do whatever they want and plant all the seeds of hate and intolerance and racism and the fanatism. So this is why it's important to stop this illness.
So I think that by giving you the authority to speak on their behalf, it's first of all, it's a blessing, because they chose the right man. And speaking to today on this show, on the eve of their revolution, it's godly. It's so godly that you only can understand how, you know, God works in this situation. So let's pray for the Libyan people to have, you know, February 17 as their celebrated day for real, for a real revolution, to have a democracy, to have a real good thing going for them, and to the leadership there to be courageous enough to stand up and help the alliances and not be afraid, because this is now or never. They'll need to come, you know, and be the hero. sometimes the difference between, you know, a win or a loss, if you stand up for your people and all the people that, you know, that are in jeopardy right now, and you can help them out, by all means, there is a way that we can pass on the, you know, the ideas and the information, and we can help. You know, the world is together now to assist. And Libya is on the map. Egypt is helping. Jordan is in play. Everybody is going to assist them. So they're not alone. They need to know that. Libya is not alone. And David, you're such a blessing to the world because you give Libya the voice. I know that, you know, as a Jewish boy, you left the country, but you're making the effort to fix and to mend whatever was damaged. And God bless you for that.
Thank you for telling me this, because I think as a Jew, you know, that you say about to fix, to repair. This is what we call tikkun olam and tikkun midot. So we are here to make our tikkun and to repair what has been damaged. So we are all cooperate as you cooperate from there. I am from here. Everybody, if doing his own little part, we can all help. And I didn't give up. I continue to tell the story and to support, even with I did in January 6th a one-man show to the most important theater in Italy to tell the story about Libya. And the title is I Love Libya. So, and there I'm telling all about the suffering and also the faith, as you said before, that through the faith we can overcome fear. And we get in a higher place that where fear drive us and confuse us, where faith bring us to another level. As you say, we need to just to pray and act and do whatever is possible in our hand, and then it's going to be in God's hands. As we say, we do our best, and God do the rest.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah for that. David, you're such a blessing, and I know that your one-man show in Rome is a success. It was a success. People are very excited to hear the story. I hope that you will have more chances to show more again and again, and I hope they bring it to Broadway. They bring it to everywhere, you know, in Hollywood, because they need to listen to your story. They need to listen to a way that people evolve, and today you are, you know, you're a magnificent man. You are loved by your people and by your friends, and we really respect everything you do, and you keep on doing the good thing, and you're helping the country that give birth. They're lucky enough to have you as the son of there, but you are a part of the Jewish people, and you bring the light upon nations. So God bless you for that. I want to
salute you
with a big, big shalom, a big hug, and we keep you in our prayers, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you so much, David, for coming to my show. I appreciate that.
Thank you, and Bezat Hashem, with the help of God, we are planning now to bring also the performance to the Pope and to Assisi. So, because we want to unite the energy from good people from other religions, so that together we can pray and fight and show that coexistence and tolerance and acceptance is possible.
Amen. So that's how we're going to build the temple, the Beit HaMikdash. That's how it's built. When you start loving each other, that's when we give God, you know, his title. He's one God and it's not us. And we are supposed to just get along in this beautiful world that he created for us.
Thank you very much. If you have this hour conversation recorded, I would appreciate if you can send me by email, if it's possible.
It will be on soon, and I hope that you will listen to it again and you will understand how wonderful you are to the world. Thank you. God bless you. And I know that Valentine's Day is passed, but you're a special Valentine to the world because you give the love to everybody. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you. Thank you for invitation. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. God bless you and bless all the people that are listening to us and the good people in the world. all that is necessary for. I want to just Edmund Burke. It was a quote that is very strong that I use it for myself. He says in the Holocaust Museum in Sydney. I read it there. It says, Edmund Burke. He says, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men do nothing. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men do nothing. And if we are good men, good people, we need to do, not to be passive, just to do as you're doing now with the interview.
Yeah,
thank you
we
very
are
much,
working with fighting. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, David. Bye, sweetheart. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we are... We're so happy we got lucky to have David on the eve of the 17th of February for this amazing situation in the Middle East. And, you know, February 16, we had Valentine's Day. I hope you had fun. And I hope Doug will get, you know, better soon because we really, really need him so much. So I hope you can get some music so I can change the mode and go to a different thing. So let's hear something. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. I'm sorry. You know, I was thinking about all the blah, blah, blah that everybody is saying about the situation of the world. You know, we just spoke to incredible men that saw firsthand, understand the situation, and tells us, you know, clear and loud, you know, just let's do something about it. All this rhetoric about who is going to talk, it's really nonsense. I respect everybody's opinion, and I love everybody, and I think that we need to understand that because for the sake of humanity, we need to be a little patient, tolerant, and understanding to each other. And I know that today we have a very special guest in Israel here. He's the advisor, strategic advisor to the president of the USA. And something that caught my attention was he's not going to share with Israel the strategic plan for Iran with Israel. He is visiting the country, the strategic advisor, and the news said he is not gonna share. Okay, fine. What can I say? Don't share. Not a problem. Did we ever keep anything from each other? You know, it's like a lover brewing already. It's become ridiculous. I'm not going to tell you. Don't tell me. I know by myself. I have a lot of information all over that you maybe want to share to get some, like what we did just now, telling what's going on from inside and not from outside and from sources who understand the language, the mentality, and the tradition. This is love. You understand, guys? This is what we do with you, with our friends. We love each other. This is not something we're doing just for show. This is not, my show is not about showing off that I have anything, you know, time on the air. This is a show to help the world get its act together. You know, I'm sitting in my corner for a long time, the longest time in the world, because, you know, and I hate that corner, because that corner is like saying, you know, you understand what's going on. You can interfere by, you know, segment of blurb, but you actually, you know, sitting on the bench. And I'm okay. I'm a player who sits on the bench. All right. So, but I got at least my show to share with you so I can talk. But something is for sure is important for you to know. I get it. And there is people who don't get it. And we get it. And when you get it, you know exactly what to do and when to do it. And that's what's important, that people get the picture. I don't care if I'm in the play, in the picture, anything. This is not important. Important that we are winning this war on terror. This is the second act. This is second and last act. ever. We're not going to play it anymore. We are going to win this war on terror. And it's not because we enjoy it. It's not because we like it. It's because we must. And it's not because we're going to fight each other. And I'm sorry, whoever wants to pick a fight with us, I'm sorry. We love you. We understand you. And yes, forgive us. Sometimes we are obnoxious and you have all the reason in the world to get mad. But something is for sure. Nobody is going to change the result of this election. This election is election for the winners of with God on their side. Whoever is going to win is going to have God on his side. So it doesn't matter. The person who plays the role is not important. This is not the face, it's the mission. The mission here is important. Understanding that we have to win, we have to save the children, we have to work hard to create a movement of world global alliances to unite. Guys, it's not about destroying it. Every time they say, oh, we want to destroy this one, or we want to destroy the other religion, or that you're not allowed to pray, you're not allowed to pray, you're Jew, you're not praying on Temple Mount, the holy site of all to the Jewish people. No, you know, nobody say nothing about it. They say something about the settlement. What is the settlement? Tell me, what is the settlement? You know, the pioneers that came to America and actually conquered it from the Mexican, the Indian, did we ever say to the Indian, this is your occupied land? Oh, Mexico, this Texas is your occupied land, and all Texans are settlers. You hear me, Buck? I don't think so. It's not going to happen. It's not. And all those people who are saying settlement on the border of Israel, Jordan, come on, wake up. It's nothing. It's not going to happen that, you know, yeah, settlement or not. This is the world in creation, in movement. That you cannot, you have to stop trying to force life and regenerate the new thing. It's like people here are trying to force this election and they, you know, they put money. And if something there is to know in the Holy Land, money has no value because you can come very rich here and you can become poor in no time. So money has the magic of disappearing in Israel. So for anybody who thinks that they can come and play a lot of money and put it in and, you know, compromise the election, yeah, maybe they did succeed once. We're not going to recall the 2000 election, but it's not going to happen. You know, the first one is shame on you. The second one is shame on us. And this is the second time. It's not going to happen. And all this, all those non-profit, blah, 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 they should be stopped in the base. They passed the 501c law that says you are obligated to buy any jurisdiction to obey and not practice any political affiliation. And State Department spokesperson, the ones that said, oh, we don't pass money to those because we will investigate any penny that was transferred to them. No, you know, wrong. The spokesperson of the State Department was wrong because she should have said, they could not overlook the 501c chapter. It says you're not allowed to have any political activity. And they actually did it. So it means that they dismantled their nonprofit tax-free faculties, per se. I said it very hard, you know, because I've been for so many years member of so many charities organizations. I know what 501c is standing up, and I know that no money should be funded. I know that they cannot even speak in a place where there is politics. And they are passing the law again and again and again with the cahoots of the State Department? No. The State Department has nothing to do about it. You know, this organization needs to be stopped, and that's it. You know, America is, you know, it's a country of law-abiding citizens. And people who break the law or do anything that, you know, they should be taxed, well, taken away with the tax-free exemption and also the grants. As who was the wonderful guy that Hannity, I think? No, that was the Califf from Fox News, wanted the money to be returned to the taxpayer, you know, money to the American people. Mrs. Kelly had it right. She did not want to insult the State Department spokesperson, who clearly was not comfortable. So let's go back. I actually went all around the room saying, you know, how much I don't appreciate what's happening with trying to, you know, to force the election to be derail the election to another way. And I love the position of the V15 group. I hope that we, you know, I'm not sounding too confusing. To you all, but it's all a part of one idea. And the idea is that if we are alliances, we stop talking BS to each other, we start facing reality, we unite people of the light against darkness, and we're gonna win. Now, anytime you wanna force stuff that is in illegal way, or we say not illegal, it's you know, it's all legal. It's not right before ethically wrong, let's say. If you force ethically wrong, it means that you're breaking the value system of God and his universe. It means that you're trying to play God. And something I know about God, that he doesn't like when somebody else is playing God. So, you know, those people are trying to decide what God loves and thing, you know, they're going to have it coming to them, because it's going to help us. God is going to help us win this. So to come and try to break the rules in the Holy Land from all places, well, that's a little testing the water. And I know that everybody seems to feel that they are on the right side, but there is no right side. There is unity. That's the only thing that happens in the world right now. It's uniting against bad. And if Italy is forced to play the role, I wish her a lot of luck, happiness, and I really wish the world to succeed in this. I think that it's not gonna be nice day to, you know, to see the distraction, but we'll overcome everything. We'll overcome it, and we'll be together as the world. We're gonna have the sun will shine. Let's go to some music, and we're gonna wrap it up. This is a long broadcast today, but it's special. So let's go to some music. And we are back. It's Oily Benny Davis. It's The Impossible Truth. And today we actually had a wonderful, wonderful talk with a great man that Courage is his middle name. And David Jerby is a man of his word. He walked the walk, he talked the talk, and he does everything in his power to make this world better. And we are lucky and blessed to see him evolving. Now, we're going to wrap this one today with the blessing and the praying to a better world tomorrow, to a startup, to a unity of mankind, to brotherhood of man, to love of each other, and to God, to have mercy on us all and grace us with his wisdom and courage and open his arms and love us so much and give us the wisdom to overcome the challenge that we're facing, to give children the safeguards they need, to feed them, to love them, to care for them, to teach them, to give us all the learning we need, and to love each other like we discover now for the first time. This is the world that God created. We need to bless it and love it. And you know, nature is so beautiful and so happy to blossom now in the spring. And I hope that the snow will go away soon for everybody who is out of the ski slope, of course. And animal can go back out and have a life. The world is beautiful. Let's enjoy it. God bless you all. This is Orly Benny Davis, and I'm saluting you and praying for Doug to be well tomorrow. God bless you. All the best. I love you, America. Take care. And ciao, Italia.